Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Anne McMillan. I am the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business, and welcoming you again to another podcast entitled Hashtag My Investing Story. And every Wednesday, we are very excited, Ione McMillan and myself, to bring you another episode of, yes, Hashtag My Investing Story. And our special guest tonight is a closer friend than I thought. His name is Terrence West. Terrence West is a phenomenal individual. He began writing scripts as a very young person, and that led him eventually to EA Sports. But he's here tonight to share with all of us his philosophy and his commitment to investing with his family. And so we want to welcome you, Terrence, and we know this is going to be a very exciting show tonight. And my guest, my co-host, Ione McMillan, and I are very excited in having you. So, Ione?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Terrence. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just thankful to be here today. So, excited.
Good. So the first question that I like to ask all of our guests is, what was your earliest memory of money? Was it a topic that was talked about in the household, or did you have to pick it up through osmosis?
Pick it up. I mean, looking at it, one of the thoughts that always came to my mind that sticks around is I remember asking my dad, you know, how to fix a car. And my dad's comment was, you better get rich so you don't have to. You know, and that was his stance, you know, and that was a couple of his responses. It wasn't a playbook on how to get rich. It was just a comment. And then going from being in Belgrade to going to Palm Beach and seeing a different level of wealth, like going to the country clubs that's there, even going to the island of Palm Beach, seeing some of the golf clubs, you know, you see the difference in trying to figure out, like, why don't we have the same things, right? So that was kind of like my earliest memory when it came down to, like, money.
So with that kind of early exposure, which really isn't that much, but I'm sure it definitely made an impression on you, when did you learn how to invest, or even probably more importantly, that investing was important?
That happened later. That happened later for me, really, when I came to Orlando for college. Like, one of my first jobs was at a BJ's Wholesale Club, and a manager pulled me to the side. His name was Jay. He pulled me to the side, and he said, you know, I'm going to do you a favor right now and tell you to get a 401k. Like, don't worry about what you're going to do with the rest of your money. You're 19. We're going to put your money in a 401k. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to be young, stupid. Put it in a 401k. You don't thank me later. You know, even if you don't talk to me when you're 30, you'll thank me later. And that was kind of like the first investment that I made personally for myself to do that and listening to him with it. It wasn't that hard, right? Seeing me drive up in a putt-putt, seeing him pull off in a Mercedes, I was like, yo, I need to get that. So
right,
he got
right,
that,
right,
and I
right.
need to follow that, right? So, but my concept was broken. It was just invest to get things. So that was my first foyer into investment.
I'm glad you used that example because we've had some other guests on the show that talked about that kind of first job experience and somebody coming over and saying, hey, I'm going to do you a favor. Sign up for this 401k plan that the company is offering. What was your initial reaction? I mean, were you open to what he was saying? Did you feel like bucking? Did you, you know, automatically discredit him, like write him off?
No, I was like, you know, a 401, huh? It's a 401 what? I know anything about it, right? Like, you know, he might as well have been speaking Japanese to me at the time, right? But when he started to, like, break it down, you know what I'm saying, being like, yo, this is a great company. We're going to match dollar for dollar. Every company does to do that with a 401k. So you put in $1,000, we're going to give you money on the table. So, you know, you might as well. And the longer you stay, the more you can put into the 401k. And then the 401k became the reason why I wanted to stay there and be complacent, you know, be complacent in where I was because of that one singular account until, you know, I had to take off. I had to change that up.
When you left, did you learn about 401k rollover or anything like that?
No, you know, I left. It was a great reason why I left there to pursue a different opportunity. But I took that, you know, I took that seed of knowledge with me to the next company, which happens to be like EA. And so, and I've been there for 15 years now. So it's been going good. It's been going good.
And so you're also investing in your retirement plan at EA Sports?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm investing in my retirement plan, also trying to give my daughters a piece of it, right? Like, one of my biggest things is, like, I don't want to retire my parents. I love my parents, you know. They can get it on their own. They all right. They know how to manage. But I think something that's big is having that mindset that I want to be able to retire my kids so they don't have to be a part of the same kind of like rat race, dealing with the same hurdles, you know, being black women in the industry, being underpaid. So how can I invest in their passions before they know what their passion's about, right? So they don't have to go to a bank, get these high interest loans, get denied for loans. You know, I want to be their bank. So that's like my personal creed that I'm trying to use in order to move forward.
I love that you brought them into it because I definitely wanted to go there because I found it to be amazing for you to be a father, on top of that, a black father who has already decided to do something different than what his parents exposed him to. So give us the ages of your daughters and what activities or lessons or just things that you're doing with them to help expose them to investing.
Yeah, so I have three daughters with three headaches, each one with their own personality. My oldest is going to be 16 this summer. My middle daughter, she just turned 13. And then my youngest daughter, she turned 8. So with them, with my oldest two, is really breaking down. So I let them see the investments that I make when it comes down to purchasing stocks. And I let them know, like I said, you know, when it comes time for Christmas, I love you. You know, don't look for a box underneath the tree. You come to me and you ask me, hey, Dad, this is a stock that I want to purchase. And telling them why. Like, this money is going to be here for you in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. When it's time for you to finish college, if that's what you want to do, it's time for you to finish college. You have the money to go buy you a house if you want that. If you want to open up your own, my middle daughter is really interesting because she's turning into like the leader of the group, and she wants to be an interior designer. And I tell her that's great to have a dream, but how are you going to have the resource to make that dream happen? And investing is a tool that we can utilize in order to make that happen. So I give them that, and then they get a, depending on how well they knock out, you know what I'm saying, their schoolwork, they get a budget where they can get stocks, you know, and I purchase stocks for them.
So, I think it's amazing to hear your story because I'm sure a lot of people are resonating with it because they didn't get taught it at home and now they have kids and are looking to new and innovative ways to include their kids into the conversation. But I want to take you back to when you first started your first 401k at the first job. What happened in terms of your investment education that made you wise up to even wanting to go further, not just invest in the 401k, but also start to pick stocks? Because, I mean, some people just put money in the 401k and then they leave it. But what was it that you started doing, started reading, resources you started, reaching out to be able to learn and grow, to be a better investor?
I wasn't active. And I think if I look back, that was problematic to, like what you said. The money was there and it kind of sat there. But I heard something, and I had a conversation with an old Jewish dude in the gym in the jacuzzi, trying to recover from his knee injury. I'm trying to recover from mine. And he asked, and I would see him like every day, and he wanted to ask me a real question. And his question was, why black people bad with money? Was his question. I was like, bad with money? He's like, oh, why black people bad with money? And he was like, you look at an Asian household, it's like 24 days that the money stays in the house. Caucasian household is 22 days. On average, an African-American household is like 24 hours. Like, damn, that's like that's where we are. Like, and then that led me down, and I found this other stat that, like, really put the brakes on things for me, which was that African-Americans, just African-Americans, not the whole diaspora, but black people, just African-Americans, we took our wealth and what we spent within a year, we'll be the eighth richest nation in the world. matter of fact, we'll be fighting with Spain at seventh. It's not that like far off, but we don't have our nation. We don't have our own land, right? Most of the wealth and land in America is locked away and can't get it. That's like 90% of it, right? Yet and still, our spending habits, are empowering other people to live their dreams, right? And I was like, no. Gotta break change. Gotta be a part of the process to change that. And how can I be a part of the process to change that? And it made me really reflect on like my early days of the wasteful spending that I did in my 20s, Like $3,000 on a pair of earrings, here's a $5,000 necklace, here's a car after car after car after car. Is this next event that I got to go to, and there's nothing to show for that, versus saying if I took that same $5,000 in 2004 and put it into Amazon, put it into Google, right, and just let it sit, and understanding that most Americans that are wealthy and that are millionaires, it's because of real estate and investment, right? It's not because they're out here trying to make everybody think they're rich. So,
with that being said, have you or did you read any books that kind of stuck out to you in addition to the stats that you had been coming across that helped change your perspective as an investor?
The Power Now by Eckhart Tolle was really a game changer for me, which is taking more control over the present and time. Bruce Lee got this amazing quote that he says that you can't love life if you waste time, because time is the only thing that life is made of, right? And how does that equate to money? Well, like the less we have, the more time that we're giving away to other people, the less time that we got to share with people that we love, the less time that we got to pursue our own dreams, right? That really like cemented like my philosophy as far as like, I want to be active. Like, my goal is to be, any time I put in after 38, it's because I want to. It's not because I need to, it's because I want to. I can walk away and do whatever I want to after I hit 38, and I'm 37 right now. So, that, to me, that's great. You know, I got three daughters. They're going to have a wonderful families of their own, and I would love to enjoy time with them in the future. So investing is very important for me to make sure that I'm able to spend that time with them.
Wow. I mean, I'm actually pretty blown away because I don't think many people within one lifetime, less than 40 years old, is able to transform their thinking to such a degree to where not only were they not taught money at home, they were not taught investing, they were not even shown the way at an early age to be able to retire, you know, again, before 40. So what type of, and I, you know, I'm asking these questions really for the benefit of the audience, but what really helped your transition mentally, emotionally, you know, wake up to this new reality? Because I'm pretty sure the way you're thinking and being now is very different than how you were raised.
It's an everyday effort, right? Like, change is something that takes, like, everyday effort, and it's between you and you to make that, you know, not your intentions, not your wishes, but, you know, expectations have to be accompanied by action. One of the things that I looked at was I'm making a product with, like, EA Sports, and we're building these games. We're going from 0 to 100, but, like, you have to do small iterations of change. You know, sometimes we think that change is supposed to be the apex level, right? It's, we're going to go from A to Z tomorrow versus saying, no, we need to take it, like, increments at a time. Set small goals for yourself. Like, this week, I only want to make $100. Now, I want to make $1 million from what I want to do. I want to make $100. Right? And then, even if you fall short of that goal, what was learning that you had from it? So every day I kind of set it up like that. So in the morning, I give myself, 10 to 20 minutes of, like, me, like, where I'm really clear as to what my intentions are for the day. Right? And one of the questions is that I ask myself, am I going to be proud of the person that I'm going to be? Right? Like, at the end of the day, am I going to be proud of the person that I'm going to be? If that answer is no, then I'm doing something wrong. And I found that out at, like, 5:50 in the morning, right? So I give myself enough time where I can truly work on myself and not just devote all of my time to, like, work. Like, yes, that's going to be, like, 8 hours that's defined that I have to give them in order to get this paycheck. But the first bit of the morning is for me to address those, address my intentions for the day.
And that's very insightful because in addition to investing, are you also teaching your daughters this way of being, this systematized goal setting, checking in with you, you know, checking in with, assessing, being accountable?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of different for them because they live in two households. So it's kind of different for them when they're with their mom versus when they're with me. But for me, I try to tell them that there's various levels of intelligence. Sometimes we feel that because I'm not possibly mechanically intelligent, then I can't. I'm not intelligent in this field, then I can't. We're putting the barriers on ourselves versus saying, like, no, let me learn. Let me create a pathway there. So when they're with me, we take the time to do the same thing. I try to teach them, like, hey, this is the routine, because it's not necessarily that I want my daughters to be wealthy. I want my daughters to be contextually intelligent enough to make the best decisions for themselves in their lives, right? For them and their families. And that's something that we all kind of miss out on, because I've learned So just trying to give them as many tools as I can to help them move forward.
Okay. Ms. Ann?
Go back to family and your early beginnings in terms of how you were raised. And, of course, as we chatted before the program started and I realized we had a connection through your mom, what are your thoughts about the impact that family brings in terms of how you view investing and or life? And what impact does that have on how you then either model that or choose to make a shift?
I give a lot of credit to my older sister, really trying to break generational curses, that we had before. And I don't blame my parents for not having, a wealth of knowledge in investing, right? Like, they had to deal with their own systematic problems, right? And they kept us fed. I didn't really know that I was, like, poor until somebody else told me. Like, once I left my home. And I wouldn't even say that we was poor. We just didn't have, the quote-unquote American dream. You got the brick-and-mortar house with the painted fence that's happening that they tell you that's what life is supposed to be. But the message was like really clear at seeing the difference, to go back to a point of my conversation with the old Jewish guy in the jacuzzi, which was they have more tribal dialogue about money, wealth, and investing. And his family, they invest in each other, where they are their bank. They're not going to Bank of America without assets in order to open up a new business. So in order for us to get to that point, we have to share that knowledge with each other. It doesn't matter if my sister doesn't invest in the same stocks that I invest in. It doesn't matter if, she bought a house I didn't buy. Right? Her philosophy is that she wanted a house. My philosophy is I want six. But her knowledge of how to purchase a house, the ins and outs, what you got to do for insurance, is as valuable as my dollar. So sharing that knowledge in between us, it just makes us all like richer. So now we're putting ourselves in a position, and now we can share that with my mom. Right? I can share that information with my mom. I can share that information with my little brother. So it's weird, right? Now it's like I have the power. I'm in charge. I'm the captain. She don't like that. I hope she's listening, but she don't like that.
Of course she's listening. But I also wanted to find out any favorite books that you may have read or enjoyed on your journey which helped to shift your mindset.
I would recommend Millionaire Next Door. That was a great one. The Alchemist was another great book. And The Man from Babylon was a great book about money and wealth.
Well, all three of those are favorites of ours, especially How the Richest Man in Babylon by Clayson. Excellent book. You remember the story?
Yeah. Oh, and The Tipping Point. Tipping Point is a great one by Mike Gladwell. That's a great book.
Yeah, Gladwell's always good. Any tips for our listeners? Because we have a lot of people listening in and always, words of wisdom or gems or thoughts, or, you have a list of what people should not do from some experiences you've had.
What you should not do is leave your money in the bank or save your money as cash. You get your money in as cash, keeping it in a shoebox. You got $100 in the shoebox. It's going to depreciate with time. it's not going to be worth $100. Your money's not in circulation, so you can't grow your wealth that way. Also, putting your money in the bank, you need to find a bank that is in line to your core pillars. There's some banks that's out there completely ripping individuals off with their savings accounts. So instead of doing that, I use my brokerage account as my savings account. So it's readily available for me to invest, and I make more money off of those investments than I would off of the interest in the bank.
Any special classes or YouTube videos or books that you're sharing with your girls?
With my girls, I think I don't want to discourage anyone from getting a college degree. I think it's very important. But I also think it's very important for parents to really sit down with their kids and map out the journey that it's going to take for the career that they want to be in. Because college degrees are very expensive. I made my daughter read the book, Debt Free Degree. So it's okay for your kids to go to a junior college for the first 2 years to save the money necessary before they go to the state college, so you're not spending that much. Also, the things that I try to do with my daughters as it relates and pertains to college is I try to get them at least 2 hours with somebody that's in that field so they can talk to them about, hey, what is the day-to-day going to be like? So they're not figuring it out in college, right? You know, you already spent this $30,000 and they graduate and be like, I don't want to use the degree no more. I hate it. So they get a real opportunity to learn from individuals and speak to them. I've been trying to give them enough experiences so they can make a great decision about what they want to do with their own life is important.
Future. If you look out, I'm not going to say 10 or 20, but what is 40 years look like for you? I mean, you'll be my age by then, but what is 40 years?
I hope my belly's bigger, my smile is bigger, you know, and I'm on a beach somewhere.
Okay, which beach?
Anyone.
No. This is you're talking to you're talking to the master builder here. So you gotta be specific as to which beach. Yeah. What does the house look like? Is it a condo? Is it a single unit? And, you know, what city, what country. And the reason why I'm saying that is because as we're talking and we're talking about, really, there's an author's name is Neville Goddard, and he says, the feeling is the secret. We all, many of us have heard about the book, The Secret. But really, the feeling is the secret. So what does money really give us? It gives us a feeling of security, verity, of wealth, and all of that. But what does it look like when you put the key in the door and you open that door and you walk in?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of home ownership, you know, personally.
Okay, it can be a cottage or it can be a condo, yeah, whatever you.
For me personally, I will be in 4 years, I think if I can create meaningful media and help continue to change, you know, that narrative space for, like, African Americans. I think they do a great job at monetizing off of us, taking from our culture, yet not providing, you know, avenues. There's not a lot of people who look like me within the industry, so changing those doors where we got more people on a C-suite level, director level, designer level, I think that'll be the nice tip of the cap for me.
All right. I'm envisioning some kind of creation of some kind of place where you're able to help individuals that look like you do the same thing you're doing. What would that look like?
Yeah, it would be great. I think if I had hand on it, just putting more tools in the hands of the creators of the culture, which is the young people, right? Like they create the dances, they create the songs, they create the music, and teaching them more about how to own the publisher, right? How to own the master. You know, don't take the first check and let it wave in front of you, right? You know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And how do we change that? And so if we look around, even at sports, we look around in sports in general, there's no black majority owner of an NFL team, yet is the league is 75% African American. You know, they're making millionaires out of African Americans, but they're not making owners out of them with their projects. So there's a lot of work for us to do in that space. So I just want to continue to be a part of the solution.
Well, I have a challenge for you. I have a challenge for you that may take a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But with everything you're saying, I'd like to challenge you to think about what can you create, what can you build? And it may be on a platform of some kind, but a space where you can begin to draw to you those young people that you're referring to and give them a space. And the reason I'm saying that is because as a black woman in construction, I'm seeing myself in you many years ago and wishing that something existed where black women could come and learn about this industry and not fear it, but to grow in it. And I didn't see that place, and so I began to build it. We're sitting on a platform right now hosting a program called My Investing Story. When I began to invest, I was one of those people that did not know the difference between a savings and an investing account. That was my hashtag, my investing story. And I decided, wow, how many other people like me, 1, 2, 3 degrees, if you will, 1, 2, 3 businesses, and are not investing because I don't know how. So I decided to create a space. This is the space. And I want to challenge you to consider building a space for all of those young people that you're talking about that you don't want to see taken advantage of, and then pour into them your experiences, because I'm sure there are a lot of people just like you, maybe some older, maybe some younger, that are looking for a place and a space to come together to help those people who are coming up behind you to have it better in your space. You know, in terms of whether it's EA Sports or whatever the other organization is, there may be an organization that already exists. Maybe, is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I completely agree with that and that challenge. I think I owe it to the culture, right? Like, I think I took a grand stance on trying to be at the forefront and making sure that the right people cashing the checks, right? I want to be in the room, I want to be at the table, I want to be a strong voice at the table when we're trying to create content and making sure that we're giving back, right? We're creating roles. Some of the things that I can speak on that we've been working on is creating more programs for STEAM, for young kids in STEAM, for young girls especially. Female engineers is one of the, like, black female engineers is one of the largest growing segments in America, really shifting our viewpoint and looking at, you know, HBCUs for talent to make sure that we are targeting, you know, African Americans. One of the things that makes me proud is not only that I get to make entertainment, but I am like the lead of diversity and inclusion for our gaming space. Right, so all of our projects in a wide range, really changing the way that we look at African American culture and what we're doing moving forward. I think it's very important to get us out of the background characters and the supporting roles, but we just hear there's no voice like whatsoever, and changing some of the mantras that it's been permeating through entertainment for such a long time. We see the changes now that's happening, you know, with Disney embracing Black culture a whole lot more. After the success of Black Panther, then they just released Soul, which was the first Pixar movie starring an African-American and embracing African-American culture. But when we look at what we're at the video game space, it's still in its infancy. So there's a lot of work to be done in this space, and I look forward to the changes that would make it happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said you look forward to the challenges. Is that what you just said?
I consider it a challenge because I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I am very much, when it comes down to going into the room, making sure that we get 100% of what we owe. So, no half measures around here. So, I mean, I think that's the way that it has to be. I think that's the way that it has to be. We got to make sure that we invest properly.
Yeah, but I really want to challenge you, though, because the more we talk about this, the more I think about what you're saying in the gaming space. Mm-hmm. And to have diversity in that space. And if you're one of very few in that space, then you're a leader in that space. And you really, I mean, I don't know, it could be something as simple as a Facebook group for those individuals, because the young kids who would love to come into gaming, and they're waiting for individuals like yourself. It's already there.
Yeah, agreed.
We'll talk offline. We'll talk offline.
There's a heavy age that got signed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're excited. I think your story is, so far, has been a very unique voice on hashtag My Investing Story. Because of not just where you came from, but how you came through it all and how you have really taken the initiative at a very early age and listened to some of the wisdom of some fellow employees to kind of help you get on the right track. Two of my last questions is, and you spoke about it a little bit before, but I want to piggyback on Ann's question of what is your, I'll call it 50-year financial vision for yourself and your family? And then the last one is, what is the number one book that you would recommend to a beginner investor? Or at least someone that wants to improve their relationship with money?
I'd go to the second one first. the Millionaire Next Door is probably the first step I would say anybody can take. I think it's very eye-opening to challenge some of the ways in our perspective, you know, of how we view wealth, especially like welfare in America. When you realize, like, hey, most millionaires are in their 40s, they're in their mid-40s, and not the 20-year-olds, right? They're not what mass media pushes on Black culture specifically. And as far as, like, the 50-year, I haven't got that far. but what I will say is that I would really love for my kids to continue to be active investors, and I want my kids to have I want my kids to be there for each other when it comes down to investment. Sometimes money divides families. It's a sore point. Everybody gets very emotional about it, or it's top secret, right? And I made a move and I didn't share it out with anybody. I want to tell you after I made $15,000 from this move, right? You could have told me when it was like $10, not if it was like $600 to share for it. And so it's just trying to change that You know, if I could change that and I could continue with my nephew and my nieces, which is really great because my niece actually sent me a text message yesterday because she heard a conversation that I had with her mom about a couple stops. And it's like, hey, you know, teach me, you know, how to do it. So I think that was like, it was one of those nice moments, right? So sometimes you think you're just talking and then nobody's listening, but everybody's listening. So I think that was a great moment for me.
I think that's a beautiful note to end on because we can all attest to making change in our own lives and our living or the way we live being an example to others and opening up the conversation exactly like you said to have those around us, even those we think are not watching or don't see us or don't hear us like your niece. To come to us and ask for help. And so with that being said, that's one of the reasons we created this podcast, hashtag My Investing Story, because we really wanted to extend the value of the Better Investing community. It's one of the most underrated collective nonprofit organization that delivers quality investment education run by volunteers. And we want to promote membership into Better Investing because we have been so much from it. And like you said, we want to share with people sooner rather than later, not when we have all become millionaires, but, you know, as we've started out, very early on, you know, sharing the journey. My mom and I have been Better Investing members for 20 plus years. And yeah, there's been no other organization that has really allowed individuals and investment clubs to grow in the wealth of this type of knowledge. Like you said, you know, understanding early on the value of money and then taking it to time value of money, then also understanding compound interest. And I mean, from the Better Investing magazine to the classes to the webinars, Better Investing is wholeheartedly a great resource. So if anybody is interested in learning more about Better Investing, please check us out at betterinvesting.org. You can also give headquarters a call at 877-275-6242, 877-275-6242, and just ask, you know, what are the benefits of me becoming a member? If you want to check out any of our webinars online, you can definitely go to betterinvesting.org and search for the chapter near you. My mom and I both directors in the South Florida chapter. So check us out. We have a model investment club that's open to the public. We also, on every second Saturday of the month, have a CASA class where we're doing a stock study and doing an educational topic. So it's a lot to be had. I think the most important thing is getting plugged in to the right places and spaces so that you can grow. And do you have any last words, Eric?
Last bit, first I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest here on the podcast. One of the things I would just want to leave is, like, really face it every day. Like, face it every day. Take time every day to just learn a little bit more, just a little bit more about our company. If we can give 80% of our time away to our jobs or 30% of our time to, like, entertainment, scrolling on, like, social media, we can take that same time to look at Yahoo Finance, to look at the top movers today, to help us make more informed decisions, because going to thank you for by doing that. You're going to change so many lives, people that you probably never even met. So thank you again, and just let me know if you need anything else.
Okay, excuse me, could you say that last part again, please?
I said, just let me know if you need anything else.
Yes, I'm going to let you know right now because I have people private messaging me and public asking the question, which I'm already answering. They want to know if you are a member of Better Investing, and I told them, no, not yet, because we're going to have a conversation with you and your family, and we're going to encourage you to become a member. I'm just going to say this. Skip over the
channel. My mama, she got a wrestling for it.
Your daughter. I have your mom. I get with her. But your daughter, we'll talk with you about your daughter.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stock market gain for the youth every summer, mm-hmm. and all three of your daughters can definitely participate and benefit. So we'll talk about that offline. And then I will get with you about becoming an active member.
Mm-hmm.
in Better Investing, and you have one of the best chapters in the United States right in the area you live in, Orlando, in that area. So, Ayanna, before we wrap up, I wanted to find out from you if you had a shout-out for anyone from our chapter.
Not to my knowledge, I don't.
Maybe Ms. Williams, since she did such a phenomenal job on that Saturday Mall Investment Club.
Oh, okay, yes. So the shout-out this week goes to Felicia Williams and her sidekick, Randall Buss, who did a wonderful presentation on the material sector in our Model Investment Club. We're going through each sector, and a pair of the partners are doing presentations. And, yeah, they both did a phenomenal job. It ended up with a stock study on Royal Gold, I believe. And we learned a lot. We learned a lot about the material sector and the industries within that sector. And so, yes, shout out goes to Felicia Williams.
So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. We want to thank everybody for joining us. And please comment, like, and share the show. We're always excited to have guests on, and if you're interested in being a guest and you'd like to share your hashtag My Investing Story, you can connect with us on any of the social media. And if you're listening to this podcast in the future, you can email, go to the website and connect with us through Better Investing website. And we look forward to hearing from any and all of you as you share your hashtag investing, My Investing Story, and come back and hear other stories. So Ione and Terrence, with that, if all minds and hearts are clear, as they say in that other place, then we're going to go ahead. Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. And actually, before we wrap up, I really want to take a moment, Ione, and I know we don't normally do this, but Denisha, Imelda, Howard, Marquita, especially you, Marshall, Peggy, Michelle, Marshall, Connie, Charles, Aurelia, Ms. Ann Newman, you're always here. A. Pope, the Reavers, listen, all of you, you make this show possible. And so we want to just encourage you to continue. And we'd also like each of you to consider coming on and being a guest and share your story. And if there are any highlights you've learned or heard, we have a debrief after this program is over every Wednesday. And Marshall and Michelle help us out a lot. Michelle Mazur, every single week, she has the same comment. And I'll just tell you, I'm going to ask her to come off mute. She knows I never do this. Michelle, I want you to please come off mute and tell everybody what you say every single week after every show. And we'll wrap up.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That was another phenomenal show. It was amazing.
And guess what? She says that every single week. And I have to agree with her. You see, there are people who will only hear Terrence's voice. We've had a lot of people out here. There are people who will only hear Howard Johnson's voice. And so everybody has an investing story. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're just starting with a savings account. So we're just very excited. We're just regular people. We don't sell anything. We're not selling anything. We're not buying anything. We just want to come on and share as volunteers. All right, so with that, all minds and hearts are clear. We're going to wrap up and see everybody next Wednesday, same place, same time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Facebook Live. And we will also begin to share the show on all of the podcasts. All right, thank you, and good night, everybody. Thank you, Terrence. Thank you, David. All right, thanks.
Goodbye.